Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. What's going on? Is it true? Are Man United really pursuing Lewis Hall and potentially Tchouaméni as well? Interesting stuff coming out from Spain, but we're going to assess this Lewis Hall stuff. I know United have played a game today, but there was stuff going on around it. Ben Jacobs retweeting a tweet from 2 months ago talking about interest in Lewis Hall. He is the guy that the original gangster, Ben Jacobs, was the guy 2 months ago who said about Lewis Hall and Manchester United. There's a lot more people saying it now. I've spoken to Ben this afternoon, so I can tell you what he's saying. We will delve into that and a few other things as well. Plus, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it. A tweet that represents something that's really pissed me off today about people going in on a player. And, you know, you can talk about your negativity and, oh, Goldbridge doesn't like Mason Mount. I've never said I dislike Mason Mount. I just think he's a waste of space. He'll get injured soon, like he has done for the last 3 years. Am I wrong? But I don't like what's being said about this other player, and I'm going to jump on that two-footed. But look, I hope everybody's in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. We're going to start off talking about this Lewis Hall story, but I'm in a good mood, you know? I am in a good mood, and I'll tell you why. I didn't want Michael Carrick to be the manager of Man United. I'm very honest about that. But when he got the job, I said I'd back him, and I do back him. It's not begrudgingly. He's the manager of Man United. I don't want to see him getting sacked. And today, for the first time, I saw something that actually made me think there might be something here that I can get behind. I actually saw Lacey, and I thought, you know what? If we can get him into the team, I don't care whether it's Mbeumo, Cunha, Ahmad, Rashford. If we can get him into the team, I'll buy into that. I just saw something today that actually made me feel quite positive and excited for a long time. So credit to Carrick, credit to the player, and hopefully we can do that a little bit more as well. I mean, I liked seeing Thwaites and JJ. It might be too soon, but I think in Lacey, there's a real player there. And I'm older than a lot of you. And you know what? We don't actually bring that many players through. So I'm happy. I'm excited tonight. I really am. I think we've got, I'm not going to say anything, it's pre-season, but if Carrick's looking to do those sort of things, I ain't going to not back him on stuff like that. I'm really not. I'm not over optimistic, but tonight I'm like, you know what? We've got Lenny Yoro, we've got Dorgu, we've got Heaven, we've got Mainoo, and now we've got Lacey. And I'm like, you know what? If we can start playing some good football with these players, I don't know what there isn't to get behind. I still can't stand the owners and I hate the board, but I will get behind that. I will get behind that. Anyway, let's talk about Lewis Hall, because that is a player that and you know what? I sort of get a little bit of goosebumps talking about Lacey as well, because I'm sort of like, that's what, so rare in the last 14 years that you get that. You used to get every bloody week off 4 or 5 players. The Rooneys, the Scholes, the Giggs. So long ago that that we've had what United really is all about. And today, for the first time in a long time, I just started to feel, you know, there's a special player there. There is a special player there and a special Man United player. And that's why the youth is so important to United. It really is. Right, let's talk about Lewis Hall, though, because a lot of people will just tune in for this bit. So an interesting day around Lewis Hall. Some bullshitters out there talking about we've agreed personal terms. We haven't. Some bullshitters out there talking about we've put a bid in or we're in talks with Newcastle. We're not. What I did is I saw that Ben Jacobs retweeted his tweet from 2 months ago. And then I saw a load of pretenders, the Manchester Evening News and a couple of other people pretending that they've got inside information on the Lewis Hall deal. And they haven't. So I just messaged Ben Jacobs at the end of the show. And I don't think he'll mind us saying this. And I said, why have you retweeted your tweet? And basically what he said is that it's funny because I retweeted it because I can see a lot of people out there talking about United's interest in Hall. And when I said it 2 months ago, I had a load of people saying it's a load of rubbish. And now they're saying exactly what I said 2 months ago. And I said, well, is it moving closer then? Is it moving closer? And he said, look, Man United will try for Lewis Hall if they get any indication. They would love to sign Lewis Hall, but it's early days. And they're probably going to need Lewis Hall to put a transfer request in. So that's basically the story. There is no personal terms agreed. There is no talks with Newcastle. It's a deal Man United would like to do, but it's a very difficult deal to do. And where I come into it now, because I can give you the story and I can carry that on, but my opinion is this won't happen. This is where I mock the club. and I basically ridicule Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim and say, you're completely incompetent, you won't get this deal done.
In the hope that they'll do it.
Because I win if they do. I do. But I think they're completely and utterly incapable of doing this deal. Just the same as Elliot Anderson, who they also publicly said they were interested in. Mateus Fernandez, they also publicly said they were interested in. So I think Lewis Hall will be filed away with every other deal where we say we're interested and we can't do it. However, I think we do need to acknowledge that United are interested. But we also need to acknowledge that it's very difficult. Now, I've had a few people... I was doing a video the other day and I said... it's very difficult to do this deal because, one, United have said they're interested in loads of players and not bought them. Two, he's a local lad and he supports Newcastle. And three, Newcastle don't need to sell. And four, the price will be very, very big. Now, a load of people ignored all the other points and said, he's not a local lad, he's born in Berkshire. Yeah, all right. He's not a local lad and he is born in Berkshire, but he's a Newcastle fan and his dad and his uncle are both from Newcastle and support Newcastle as well. So, okay, he's not born in Newcastle. I'm not born in Manchester. I'm still a massive Man United fan. I'm sure a lot of you weren't born in Manchester. You're still massive Manchester United fans. Where he's fucking born means nothing. He is a Newcastle fan and so are his dad and uncle. So that could be something. But I think the biggest thing is that Newcastle don't want to sell. And to sell him, we'd have to offer something big. They'd also need a replacement, which they haven't got. So I think my stance is this won't happen. I think I'm not even going to get excited about it. It won't happen. And I think what's happening is we're getting the usual suspects who don't know their arse from their elbow. And there's nothing else to talk about going... United would like to try and do this deal. United would like to try and do it. Oh, United are interested. And I'll love this. You know what? In no way, shape or form am I, and probably some of you, saying I don't want Lewis Hall. I do want Lewis Hall. I think he's a very, very, very good player. But I don't think we're going to sign him. I just really don't think it's going to happen. And I think everything I've read today is either somebody with no... decent track record in transfers or pretends they do, or it's outlets that don't break transfers. I mean, look, even the Manchester Evening News, Man United could test the waters with a bid for Lewis Hall. But if a deal is to happen, it's believed the player will have to make it clear to Newcastle that he wants to move. So you're asking a player to put a transfer request in at a club he supports and his dad supports. I just don't know. I mean, it's not impossible. It's not impossible for that to happen. You know, Wayne Rooney left Everton. So it can happen, but I just think we need a lot of things to go our way in the last sort of few weeks of this transfer window. And I'm not so sure that we're capable of doing that, if I'm being completely honest. But look, we'll have to wait and see. But the truth of the matter is, Ben Jacobs did break this story 2 months ago. I've spoken to him this afternoon. And what he's saying is, of course, United are interested and would like to try. But it's a very difficult deal to do. And unfortunately, gone are the days where if Man United are interested in a player, do you get them? How many players have we been interested in this summer and we've not got? Tonali, Anderson, Fernandez, you know, there's a lot. So I think it's going to take a hell of a lot for Man United to do this. And I'm just, you know, maybe it's a defence mechanism, you know. Honestly, it probably is. I don't like to admit it because I don't want to come across as weak, but it's a defence mechanism. I'm just going to say we're not going to get this deal done because I just don't want to get excited about it. But I would love to sign him. I would absolutely love to sign him. Of course I would. The second thing I wanted to talk about was Tchouaméni. Now, I don't know anything really about this source, but it's Spanish. So basically, a couple of stories this afternoon came in from Spanish outlets saying that Jose Mourinho would be open to selling Tchouaméni because he's not compatible with Rodri in the same midfield. The Portuguese manager sees the pairing as an unsuitable fit and would be willing to sanction Tchouaméni's departure. So this came in from Madrista Hoy, and ES Diario. I don't know these people. I don't know. And look, you know, maybe it's true. Maybe it is true. But Tchouaméni is a Mourinho player. Mourinho sanctioned the new contract. And what if Rodri comes in and breaks his leg? Who's going to hold your midfield then? I didn't believe that Real Madrid or Mourinho want to sell Tchouaméni. I really don't. But look, maybe some of you do. I just find it... Look, part of me thinks, are we signing Tchouaméni or is Mason Mount going to be our midfielder? I think Mason Mount being our midfielder is more likely at the moment. I do not believe we're going to sign Tchouaméni, and I do not believe we're going to sign Lewis Hall. I just don't. But look, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. And I tell you what, I'd be ecstatically wrong about that. I really, really would. But I think we've been disappointed. And look, it's not me disappointing you. It's not you disappointing yourselves. I really wanted Elliot Anderson. I really wanted Diamande. I really wanted Nusa. I really wanted Stiller. I really wanted Mateus Fernandez. I really wanted Tonali. I just think we've been disappointed so many times this summer. And if somebody wants to be positive and think we're going to sign Lewis Hall and Tchouaméni, fair fucks. You know, fair play. You know, you know, I ain't going to begrudge somebody being optimistic and excited. You go and enjoy that. But don't tell us we're negative, because I think we've been disappointed so many times this summer. And it wasn't me and it wasn't you. It was the club. Like, we have been let down more times than a airbed with a leak this summer. It's been really disappointing. So I can't do it again. I can't trust the club to do it. And actually, I think I said this on the watch along. It's not a bad situation to be in, is it? I mock the club and their ability to sign Lewis Hall. I laugh at the club and their ability to sign Tchouaméni. They're incompetent. They won't do it. And when they don't do it, I'll say, I told you they're incompetent. But if they do it, I'll be like, oh my God. Oh my God. So, you know, you can't lose if you just say, I don't believe it. They're not going to do it. They're shite. And then if they do it, it's an amazing surprise, isn't it? So that's sort of where I am with it. I'd love us to do it. I really would. I don't think we will. I just haven't got it left in me this summer to get excited about it. I really haven't. Smoggy says, can we just not speak to his cousin and tap him up? A la De Zerbi. Seems okay to do now, says Smoggy. I don't know whose cousin we're talking to, but apparently De Zerbi did get on the phone to Tonali the day after they stayed up and basically convinced him to sign. The midfielder will be someone out of the blue and cheap, so keep an eye on Kessie and Goretzka, both on a free, so age won't matter. Just on the midfield, by the way, I mean, obviously I did the match reaction, I did the watch along today. There's a lot of people putting lies out there. Apparently I was slagging the team off at halftime when we were losing 1-0, saying it's unacceptable. Literally didn't happen. Go back and watch the watch along. And apparently I didn't give any praise to Santos and Mount. Literally put them in the top three with Lacey. But a few people have posed the question, can Mason Mount be our solution in the midfield? No. No, he can't, because he can't stay fit. You can't have Mason Mount as your fourth midfielder because he can't stay fit. And if he gets injured in September and is out till Christmas, Michael Carrick will be absolutely rinsed. He cannot be the solution. Even if he was playing like prime Kante, you cannot do it, because you are basically picking a player that misses half of every season he's been here. So he can't be the midfielder on that. It doesn't matter whether he's shit or amazing. He just can't be it. And I think some people today haven't figured that out, because they're like, oh, he played so well today, give him some credit. Well, I did. But he can't be the solution because he can't stay fit. It's a massive, massive, massive risk. You can't rely on his injury record. You really can't. I mean, I'm going to read this tweet out as well, because this is what I mean. Like, I saw this today. Is Santos still written off as a Chelsea reject or an undervalued talent spotted and acquired? Well, you answer the question, because apparently if you were underwhelmed by Santos, you're now a loser. Well, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. The last time I checked, the season hasn't started yet. He could be amazing in pre-season and total shit when the season kicks off.
I think he's been really good in pre-season, but you're not a hit because you do well in pre-season. Like, there is a long way to go for Tielemans and Santos. And, you know, it's the flip-flop nature of people writing players off too soon and people saying they're a hit too soon. And he's not cheap. He's not cheap, is he? He's not cheap at £50 million. I think he looks good, but look, let's hold our horses a little bit. Let's really hold our horses. But this was the one I wanted to talk about. I saw this today. And it's from an account I do, you know, I don't mind them. You know, I think it's a decent account. It's called Frank Era on X. But I have to call this up. I have to call this up because I'm somebody who's very honest about what I think about players. This was the tweet. I don't like it. I'm not having a pop at this person, but it's more about the replies. The tweet was, love the guy, love his attributes, but can we all see that Dorgu isn't a left winger? And the replies are horrific. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I love the guy, I love the attributes, but can we all see that Dorgu isn't a left winger? And I see these sort of tweets and I see these sort of comments and I find them quite cowardly because they're so fucking vague. It's almost like, I love the guy, but he's fucking shit. Well, have the courage of your conviction to say what you really mean, because I don't know what you're saying here. Love the guy, love his attributes, but can we all see that Dorgu isn't a left winger? Now, I might be being very unfair to Frank because he might think that he's a left back, but you love him and you love his attributes, but he's not a left winger. So what is he then? Because all that does is it, and maybe it's deliberate and maybe it's accidental, but when you read the comments, all it does is just cause a massive pile-on of Dorgu because of the lack of clarity. And it really annoys me. It really annoys me because Dorgu, when he first came to the club, loads of people called him fucking dog shit. Loads of people went in on him as a young player. But when he was scoring bangers against Arsenal and playing well against Man City, no one was saying he wasn't a left winger then. But now, because he has a bad game in pre-season against Atletico Madrid, we're all meant to go, he's not a left winger. And I'm like, I've seen nothing to suggest he's not a left winger. I don't think he's a left back. I don't think he's a left back at all. But what is it about our fan base that's so fucking impatient? Like, at Christmas and January, when he got injured, people were saying he's the next Gareth Bale. He's come back from injury. He's had a bad game in a pre-season game. And now he's not a left winger. And I'm like, you know what? As somebody who gets accused of being negative, I am not negative. I'm very consistent. Like, I say what I think. And you don't have to agree with it. But I'm getting so pissed off with the treatment of Dorgu. I really am. I'm not saying he's going to be a success at Manchester United, but it seems to me if he has one bad game, you get the whole, I love the guy, but he's shit. Well, you don't love the guy then, do you? If you loved the guy, you wouldn't be throwing him under the fucking bus. What is wrong with him as a left winger? I didn't think he played well today. I thought there was a couple of passes he could have played better. He should have put a cross in earlier to Mbeumo. But he's still very young. He's definitely not a left back. I think he is a winger. Can we not just be a little bit appreciative of a young player that is still learning his way, who in January people were saying is the next Gareth Bale? I just, on the one hand, Santos is the next Casemiro after a couple of good games in pre-season. And on the other hand, Dorgu's shit again. And I'm like, I just don't get it. Like, the only players I've got a problem with in pre-season are the players I wish that weren't here anymore. Luke Shaw, I wish he wasn't here anymore. I wish he'd go. Mason Mount, I wish he would go because I just don't see, you know, I know he's playing really well, but he won't stay fit. Dalot, I'd love to sell Dalot because he's been here for years. I'd love to upgrade him. But I wouldn't take... The Dorgu thing I find weird, and it will happen. It happens with Yoro, it'll happen with Ahmad. And I'm like, it's almost like if you say something positive before you say something negative, people don't pick it up for what it is. It's a bit of a witch hunt. I don't, I don't see Dorgu as a problem at all. I really don't. When he got injured in January, everyone was gutted. He never really got back. And now he's having a pre-season. And now people are deciding they don't rate him again. I think he's a massive player for us. I really do. I really do think Dorgu is a big player for us. Let me get into some of your comments tonight. Thank you, everybody who is tuning in as well. But look, primarily, I know it's only pre-season. And I know, you know, I was listening to what Mbeumo said. Probably thinks he's more of a winger than a striker. I was listening to what Yoro said. Doesn't really think he's a right back. He's a centre back, but he's enjoying covering for Dalot and Mazraoui. It is only pre-season, of course it is. But I mean, I think we started off the pre-season Pirlo thing as a community, didn't we? I think you can be fooled in pre-season by good performances. But I think what pre-season really is about, is there any young players or new signings that look like they might be quite good? And obviously there's been a lot of praise for Santos, deservedly so. But I think Lacey scored last week against Rosenberg. Definitely man of the match contender today. I think at the moment he looks like a real success story. And I just hope, I really do hope that, you know, it's a big season for Ahmad. It's a big season for Cunha. Marcus Rashford might be coming back. I hope in amongst all that, Carrick's got the balls to say Lacey is playing in this game. I don't want to see Lacey behind Ahmad, Mbeumo, Cunha, Rashford not getting game time. I really think there's an opportunity. And I think when you're a manager like Carrick, and I think he understands this because he's been at the club, I think he knows this fan base. And I think he knows that someone like Lacey can be the thing. You can sign players, you can have Bruno Fernandes, but I think he knows that someone like Lacey is his gem. It's his player. And if he utilises him, not every week, not every game, but he uses him in a way where it's like, this is my player, we as fans will latch on to that. Maybe Amas as well, but certainly Lacey. I think that this is a real opportunity for Carrick. I really do. And I hope he's going to take it. Because he's been the, you know, the standout. And the great thing about Lacey is I think we already knew that there was a real talent there. He just had a few injuries. So, look, let's wait and see. But it's the one thing that's made me feel positive this summer. And hopefully it can continue. Hi, Mark. As much as we need to bolster the squad, what's your main areas of concerns and what's your dream signings? I think Stiller would have been number one. I still massively worry about the midfield. I saw a tweet today. I think it was Paddy attacking football, and we've said it here, and he's absolutely right. Santos and Mainu can play together. Santos and Tillemans can play together, but Tillemans and Mainu can't. Now, solve the equation with that. What's the problem with that? Santos and Mainu can play together. Santos and Tillemans can play together, but Mainu and Tillemans can't play together. What's the problem with that? Santos. One thing happens to him, injury, loss of form, we're in trouble. So we need another midfielder. We need another midfielder. That's the biggest problem in that team, because if Santos doesn't do well or he gets injured, we're fucked. Because Mainu and Tillemans won't work. So we desperately do need to bring another midfielder in, PJ. Should we not just look at signings and sales at the end of August and save the heartache, says Connor. I don't even know what to say to that, Connor. I mean, what? I need to know who they are. Please explain your criticism of Carrick's training drills when you praise training drills of Amarim Ten Hag. Seems like an anti-Carrick narrative, says Herod. I've already spoken about this in the preview. I think it's really boring waste of time to go over it again. What that tweet was about, because it wasn't even on a video, was somebody put a clip up of Man United doing passing drills like we're going to win the league. And I literally just said, those passing drills are the sort of passing drills you do when you're six. That's what I said. I don't think it's going to get anybody scared. That's what I said. It was a tweet. It wasn't expanded on any more than that. So I don't know how you've turned that into an anti-Carrick thing. I just said, why are you getting excited about a passing drill that people do when they're six? And I left it at that. pick the prop. I don't know what you want me to say, Harrod. You've turned it into a book when it was just a sentence. Carrick knows that Lacey and Gabrielle and Amas need to be nurtured, and perhaps Carrick can do that, but we need to remember they are kids like Dorgu and Mainu. Emily, you are very intelligent, and I think you've picked it up straight away. This is why I'm talking about Dorgu. I just can't stand people who go after young players because they have a bad game in pre-season. We're nurturing players and we're really bad at it, and we're going to be even worse at it if we're not patient. Look, even the Fletchers, right? I think there's a lot of people in this fan base who think the Fletchers are in the team because of their dad. And all I've said is, I don't know that I can't differentiate the two, and I've not seen anything from either that differentiates them. And that's a bad thing. You know, Gary Neville and Phil Neville, very different players, even though they played at fullback. The Fletchers, they're the same thing. Because I haven't seen anything from them yet. But I know what Fletcher did it today, and he did really well. So, you know, let's not write people off before we understand what they are. And we also need to appreciate, no matter what they are, they're still young. What if Lacey plays against Hull in the first game and he's shit? He's not finished, is he? We can't build a season around these players. We have to build them. And part of that is our task as well, as fans. And we seem to have forgotten about that. We're very, very quick to be critical of the owners and the board, and we're very, very right to do that. But we do have a role to play as well. It's not as big a role as we would like, but as fans, we should be patient with our younger players. We should be patient with our new signings as well. You might not like those new signings. I didn't really like the signing of Santos, but I'll definitely give him a chance. Should we not just look at signings and say, I've done that one from Mr. Connor. You said you'd take Carrick over De Zerbi, says Kenny. I'm struggling a little bit tonight. It is a Saturday night show, and I am struggling with this. You said you'd take Carrick over De Zerbi, and then there's four laughing emojis where they're crying a lot. I would take Carrick over De Zerbi. Now, to be honest with you, I don't even know. You know what? Sometimes I say things. I say a lot. You know, when you speak for 2 or 3 hours a day, you do say a lot of things. And sometimes, maybe I did say that. Maybe I didn't say that. Maybe I said I'd take De Zerbi over Carrick, and the next week I said I'd take Carrick over De Zerbi. Honestly, sat here now, I don't know what I said. I'll tell you for free. I'll tell you why I don't know what I said. Because I don't see a massive amount of difference, if I'm being honest. If we're meant to believe that De Zerbi's on a different level to Carrick, well, I don't necessarily think he is. I actually think De Zerbi's quite, you know, this is the guy that said he'd rather play good football than win trophies. This is the guy that's actually done nothing in his career. You know, Marseille wasn't particularly good. Brighton wasn't particularly good. He's got a lot to prove at Spurs. I've spent too much time on that, Kenny. I don't give a fuck about Spurs. Spurs are not our rival. I don't know why we're being brought in. Can I just apologise for the last 2 minutes? I don't want to talk about Spurs. You're not a rival. I'm sorry. You're not. You're not our rival. You're never going to be our rival. Best of luck for the season, but you're not our rival. Bye-bye. Why did you write transfer boost, says M3G4. Yeah, this is getting a bit weird now. So this is the United Stand. It's an 8 o'clock show on a Saturday night. It's not a free lesson in titles on YouTube. Give Newcastle Maguire and Shaw for Hall, says Irish Beckham. And Ronnie says, trying to become Ronnie the Dreamer from yesterday's show. We are getting Hall, Chermini and Watkins. Forever the United Stand, says Ronnie. The midfielder, I've done that one. Sean Turner says the midfielder will be someone out of the blue and cheap. So keep an eye on Kessie and Goretzka, both on a free, so age won't matter, says Sean. Yeah, I mean, look, on the midfielder, we have to get one. I still think Kone is going to be something that we're going to regret if we don't do it. But and we might regret not doing Kone if we go for Chiumini. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between the two. We'll just have to wait and see how that develops. I hope we will sign Hall because he is that good, but will we? With our board being cheap, I'm not convinced they will pull out all the stops. Mike, this is not known information. This is a complete and utter opinion-based bit of a statement. I do not understand how Man United can sign Lewis Hall, whose market value is 55 million. I don't know how we can pay £70 million for him and then not pay for Fernandes or Tonali or Anderson. I don't know how we can justify overpaying for Lewis Hall. I just don't see how we can do that. I don't mind us doing it, but I don't see how the board can say, let's overpay on Lewis Hall, because they'll want 70 million. They'll want 70 million for him. I remember, and you know, I'm throwing myself under the bus here. I remember Beth saying something about Lewis Hall maybe in May or June, and she did a video and I think she said 40 million for Lewis Hall. And a load of Newcastle fans retweeted it and took the piss out of her. And I came to the rescue. Well, I wasn't really the rescue. I came in to help, and because these Newcastle fans were saying 70. And I went, you can get fucked. We're never going to pay £70 million for Lewis Hall. It'll be more like 55. The reality is, if we want to sign him in August, it will be that stupid £70 million. He ain't worth £70 million. He ain't worth £70 million. He's not worth 65. He's not worth 60. It's 55 million tops, but we won't get him for 55 million in August. So we've got to accept that if we're going to sign Lewis Hall, we'll have to pay 70. And look, if United put a bid in for Lewis Hall tomorrow for 70 and Newcastle said yes, I'd be still happy. But it would be quite funny, because all those United fans that have been going, were right not to overpay. And then people like myself saying, if you want something, you should pay for it. It would almost be the most confusing summer transfer window ever, because when we didn't go for Matheus Fernandes or Anderson or Tonali, and I and many of you were saying, well, we should have paid it because they're the players that we want. And then, you know, the Glazer Rimmers were going, oh, no, we won't overpay. It's the right thing to do. We won't overpay. If we went and bought Lewis Hall for 70 million, we would be overpaying and I'd be OK with it and they'd be OK with it. But I would say, well, hold on a minute. 2 months ago, you were saying we mustn't overpay. And now we are. Which one is it? So that's what I mean. There's almost a level of hypocrisy. If United go and sign Lewis Hall for 70 million or 65 million, they are overpaying, which is something they weren't going to do 2 months ago. So I don't see how this happens without us going back on what we've said. And I don't think we will go back on what we've said. Did you see the great performance from Lacey? They're like new signings. We must spend the rest of the budget on Lewis Hall. Forget the midfield and winger. Sorry, you said, did I see the great performance from Mount and Lacey? They're like, you know what, user 66? Many people say you're a troll. I'll leave it at that. Where are we now? What's your honest, complete prediction of all our signings by the end of the window, says the snail. Oh, man, I can't do this. I was doing the watch along today and people were saying, where do you think we're going to finish this season? I don't know. I don't know about you, but I genuinely don't know. And partially that's because of the lack of transfers, but partially it's because, look, I really don't care. Like, people who've been watching the channel for a long time know it. I don't care. I'll fall out with all of you. And I'll love all of you. Like, when Rashford went out in Belfast, you lot were saying you did it. I was like, get fucked, you didn't. And that was probably the worst show I've ever done. I was arguing with everybody. You're idiots. I said it, you're idiots, there's no way he's done it. And he did. I had to come and do a show and say I'm sorry and all that. So I don't care. I'll say what I think. But I said at the start of last season, I don't think we'll get top five. And we did. We did. This season, obviously we might sign some players. If I had to not sit on the fence, I would say United will finish in the top four. It's just a feeling. But realistically, if you would let me sit on the fence, I would go, I really don't know. We could finish eighth. We could finish third. We could finish 12th. We could finish second. I just don't know this season. It's really, I mean, seconds, I retract that. I don't think we can finish top two. We might replicate third. We might finish eighth. I don't know this season. I really don't. I think it's so hard. So much of it depends on how we deal with two games a week. So much depends on what we do in the next month in the transfer window. And so much depends on what we do with people like Rashford. And so much depends on what Liverpool do in the next few weeks, or Chelsea, or Spurs, or Villa. So It's difficult. It's really difficult to predict what's going to happen with United this season. I can see us signing Hall and no midfielders as angling for more. Well, that would be a disgrace. I do like the idea of signing Lewis Hall, and I do like the idea of signing a left back. But if we don't sign three midfielders, I'll be fucking fuming. I'll be absolutely fuming. If we go into the season with two midfielder signings, I'll lose my shit. I really will. I think that's completely and utterly unacceptable. Daniel Thompson says, it's SummerSlam weekend and we've had many heat waves this summer, but it's the United Stand that's the hottest show around. It's live and direct this Saturday. We say hello to Mark and United Stand. Hope you've all had a good time. And you, Daniel, and I hope enjoy SummerSlam. I didn't know that was on this weekend, but there we go. Smoggy says Wheatley to Everton was a bit out of nowhere. No fee mentioned. We'll go for peanuts. Going to be an exodus of youth for now. I mean, I can't imagine Ethan Wheatley going to Everton for anything more than 3 million. I mean, tell me I'm wrong, but I just can't see that being anything particularly high. Mark, do you think it will hinder us if we keep solving our problems one department at a time? Wasn't there an article that said until we address the defence next summer? Well, Paris, we've been doing this for a long time. Look, we didn't get a midfielder last summer when we should have done, and now we're doing it this summer. We probably need to sort our fullbacks out this year, and we'll probably end up doing it next year in relation to right back. At the end of the day, a lot of clubs like Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City, if the house needs decorating, they do it all at the same time. What United do is they'll do the living room, then they'll do the kitchen, then they'll do the hall, then they'll do bedroom one, bathroom, bedroom three. But by the time you've done bedroom three, the living room needs doing again, and so does the hall. So this is the problem. You're always chasing your tail if you don't solve your problems quickly. And new problems come up as well. You know, whilst you're doing your hall, your kitchen has a leak and needs doing again. So it's not the way to solve a football club. The way to be a successful football club is to solve all your problems as quick as you can. Just want to fall asleep and wake up on game day. Hate transfer window. Davey, I got to say, I sort of agree with you. Pre-season is... I can't believe it's still 3 weeks to the start of the season, basically. I do want to just start the season now. I'm bored of the transfer window. And I think pre-season's a bit boring as well. I think because we've not gone to the United States or Asia, it just gives it a little bit of a different feel. But yeah, I'm ready to start the season now. I'm looking forward to it. Emily says, depends on the midfield. I wonder if we don't get the marquee name in midfield as the third midfielder, they'll do it at left back. It would be desperate and hypocritical, but possible. I don't see us, Emily, signing a marquee midfielder now. I can't see who it would be. Mr. Connor says, with United, it's death by a thousand cuts. At least you can check the zero impact once after the deadline, drown the sorrows and move on. And Josh says, we are not good enough with the ball to not have an out-and-out six. If we don't get a six, we better get some better ball players around Mainoo and Bruno, says Josh. I still think we're going to transition, though. There was a couple of times today where we got the ball from the defence, and realistically, there was a lot of space to go out to the right or the left. Mason Mount definitely did it once, and I think maybe Santos did it as well. It happened three or four times. We got the ball in our half, and it was after an Atletico Madrid attack, and there was a pass out wide or even into the number 10, and we instantly went for Mbeumo, and it didn't work. And I thought, we're still that team. We're still going to be that team next season, especially when Bruno's back. We're still going to be the team that instantly looks for the killer pass. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, Josh, but you know, when you're talking about we need a good number six to help break up the play, or we need possession players to hold on to the ball, I don't think we're going to be a possession team, so we better go and get a good number six, which is why Casemiro was so important. because I just can't see it. I can't see us changing the way we play. I mean, Bruno Fernandes fundamentally isn't that good at keeping hold of the ball. His assets are always going to be his ability to transition. So, yeah, I can't see that changing. Andy Mitten about Lewis Hall. They like Lewis Hall, but Newcastle would want a lot of money for him. It isn't straightforward where you just tick him and buy him. I'm sure the player wants to join Man United, but it's not about that. He's got a contract at another football club. Look, I think we're hearing a lot of this now. Andy Mitten, Andy Pandy. I was just trying to throw random names. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be anybody. The story is the same. It could be United spotlight in the live chat. Man United like at Lewis Hall, but he's a Newcastle player. It's a very hard deal to do. I just think we've heard this story so many times. If you want to believe it, fine. I don't believe it. I think we've had so many letdowns this summer. I just don't know why I'd get any encouragement about Lewis Hall, you know. And we're always, you know, I've always said this about the Lewis Hall story, even Ben Jacobs 2 months ago, or the stuff that's coming out today. Okay, United want to sign Lewis Hall, and maybe he'd like to leave, but Newcastle don't want to sell, and they'd want a lot of money. And it's almost like people are focusing on United like Lewis Hall, and they're not listening to Newcastle won't sell, and they also want a lot of money. That's the thing. That's the problem. Man United liked Elliot Anderson. Man United liked Mateus Fernandes. We were in talks for Mateus Fernandes. Just because we like it. I think if you're like a Man City fan and you hear somebody say Man City want Bouadi, you probably think, right, we're going to get him. But it's not like that at United anymore. Man United really like Mateus Fernandes. Man United's number one priority is Elliot Anderson. Man United really admire Lewis Hall. It no longer means we're signing them. In fact, it probably means we're not. So, we're not good enough. I've done that one from Josh. Has Ollie secured any good team post-Man United, says Kenny. I think you know that as well as I know. Do you have any thoughts on Sesko leaving? Look, Christian Falk is a journalist that's very, very close to Bayern Munich. And twice in the last 24 hours, he's spoken about Bayern Munich wanting Sesko. I have no information on this at all, other than that. But I genuinely think Sesko wouldn't leave Man United for Bayern. I think if Bayern rang Man United up and said, we want to sign Sesko, I genuinely don't think Sesko would go, it's my dream move. I might be completely wrong, but I don't think Bayern Munich have got the pull to take away Sesko from Man United. If Real Madrid knock on the door, maybe, you know, maybe. But I don't think Bayern Munich knocking on the door would make Sesko want to go. And I don't think Man United would want to sell. So, look, some people are laughing at me for saying that. It's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. Bayern Munich are a huge club. I don't think they would do it. I do not think that he would want to go. So I personally think it's a load of bollocks, is my honest answer, Pope. Fair enough, but you praise previous managers for the same thing, so it shows an inconsistency, says Herod. Yeah, we're still going on about this crap. You didn't listen to what I said, did you? I was mocking the person who did the tweet, making out, you know, it was something other than it wasn't. I don't remember what you're talking about with other managers, to be honest. Some fans are trying hard to convince themselves Man United will sign Tchouaméni and Hall. They refuse to see the reality is Tyler Adams, says Desiree. Dorgu reminds me of very young Doku. Only difference is he's learning in a much bigger league than League One and far bigger clubs, says Nate. Look, I think with Dorgu, when it doesn't work, he looks a little bit awkward. But when he's in the mood and he's playing well, he's unstoppable. I think we've got a very good player there. I really do. Keep an eye out for Coop Miners. It's also refreshing to hear about outgoings. Bayinda, Gore and Wheatley, says Kristen. Thank you very much for that. What's Mount's role with no injuries under Carrick, says Jarba. I've got to be careful what I say here now because he played well today. I feel like it's a trap. Well, so you're asking me what's Mount's role with no injuries under Carrick? The same role as what it was under Amrim. I mean, Amrim liked Mason Mount as well. You know, Amrim really did like Mason Mount. I remember this time last year, Mason Mount was being spoken about in the same way because he had a good preseason. And the year before that, Ten Hag really liked him because he bought him. So, unfortunately, sometimes what's called the prophet of doom is the prophet of reason. A lot of people don't like that I don't rate Mason Mount, but I don't rate Mason Mount because he's always injured. I actually think he is a good player. When we signed him from Chelsea, I was like, he is a good player. A lot of people went mad when we signed him from Chelsea. And I said, to be honest, I don't really understand why we bought him, but he is a good player. But my criticism of Mason Mount is his injury record is fucking appalling. So for you to say to me, Java, what's Mount's role with no injuries under Carrick? When is he not going to be injured then? Like, I've heard nothing to suggest that he can stay fit. Like, he didn't have one injury and then get it sorted. He's injured all the time with lots of different things. Now, how is he going to stay fit? If you want to play a hypothetical game of Mount never gets injured again, I would imagine he's a bench player because I don't really know how he gets into the team. But I'm sure he'd get a lot of minutes because I think Carrick and Amrim and Ten Hag like him. But Carrick's the manager now. But I don't understand how we would ever have a world where he's not injured, because how is he going to stay fit when he couldn't do it for 3 years? RSM says, you said Lewis Hall won't happen. There's a few idiots in the chat tonight, isn't there? I know I've been skirting around the issue, but there is definitely a few idiots in the chat tonight. I said Lewis Hall wouldn't happen. Okay. And? If it does happen, what happens? Do I have to quit the United stand? Or do I go, great deal, I'm really, really happy. I want it to happen, mate. I really want it to happen. But I can't get behind this club and board again and be let down. So I don't think it will happen. In fact, I think they're absolutely fucking useless. It won't happen. I'd love them to go, right, let's prove him wrong and sign him. But I don't think it'll happen. Don't think it'll happen at all. Love to see some Delow final third fucked up an opportunity stats. Can we please sign an exciting right back, says Josh. And since Sesko is young, I can see Bayern putting an offer. Man United can't resist, says she loves Calgary. I mean, they'd have to give us 100 million. Quantum says, haters going to say Mark jinxed the transfer. What transfer? The Hall one. We will have to pay 15 million more for Hall after they've sold Tonali, Bruno and Gordon. You snooze, you lose. Yeah, this is what I don't understand, Joe. If we really liked Lewis Hall, and we always liked Lewis Hall, and Ben Jacobs literally on this show said at the end of May, Man United liked Lewis Hall, it's just got Anthony vibes. Why didn't we put an offer in May? Why have we waited till August? Because he'll definitely be more expensive now than he was then. This is another thing I agree with Joe. I don't understand why we've waited till August to potentially try and do a deal, when if we'd gone for him in May or June, it would have been cheaper. It is a bit weird. Going to the Manchester Derby, any things you must do while being in Manchester? Feel like toxic Saturday today. Hope you and your family are well. Does feel a bit toxic, Noah, yeah. Don't know why, but enjoy the trip. Enjoy the Manchester Derby. After watching pre-season, what do you think the formation and tactics will be next season? P.S. Eddie Howe manager next summer, says Trevor. I think it'll be pretty much what it is today. I actually think sometimes the left back, and Carrick did this a lot at Middlesbrough, and we spoke about this, Carrick still plays three at the back. He just doesn't do it in a formational way. And what I mean by that is sometimes Luke Shaw very rarely goes forward and he's like a third centre back, but the right back goes forward and the left winger becomes the left wing back. So you can see that sometimes with Carrick, and we saw it last season. we're going to play the four at the back or whatever, and, you know, we're going to play a three in midfield. We've seen in pre-season a desire to press when the opposition have got the ball. We saw that under Amorim last year and it worked quite well. The problem is if people play through the press, they're going to get a back four that's a little bit slow in certain areas. I was thinking about this actually. I would like this season for us to do what we tried to do under Amorim, which was outscore people. So under Amorim, we were averaging over 2 goals a game, but we were also conceding 2 goals a game. Under Carrick, we were a lot better defensively. So I would like to see us trying to outscore teams again, whereby, you know, maybe we will skip, when maybe we will concede one or two, but we'll score three or four. But that would be very different to what Carrick did. Carrick was very much more about defensive counters. But I have seen a more pressing style than we saw from Carrick at the end of last season. So maybe we will see that change. Would you be content with just Hall and a third midfielder? This is one and only. At this moment in time, I can't see it being anything else other than that. We've only got 4 weeks to go. And I think a left back and a third midfielder is probably realistic. Mojo says, the only worry, we're in talks with a grave. There is no one living we're talking to. 3 weeks for the season to start. And Jarvis says, I'm speaking hypothetically. If he changes running style like Giggs, would Carrick consider starting him over others? Look, I think we're still going to talk about Mason Mount here, and it's a good conversation because his injury problem is not hamstrings. It was a pelvic problem, is what I got told about a year ago. No, it was longer than that. It was about 18 months ago. So about 18 months ago, it came out that Mount's problem was something to do with the pelvic, and it was an injury that he would never really get past. And United were considering giving him an operation, but he would be out for 6 months. And they didn't go with the operation. So my assumption from that was that they decided that the operation probably wouldn't totally solve the problem, and you're better off just managing it. So, look, I don't know. I don't know. You never know the information you're getting is that accurate. Maybe things can change. Look, Luke Shaw stayed fit for a whole season last year. Some people think he's had a miracle cure. I think playing one game a week and not training very much in the week probably helped him. I think if we had 2 games a week, there's no way Luke Shaw would have stayed fit. But we'll never know. We'll find out this year. Maybe Mason Mount can suddenly stay fit for the rest of his career. But as I said, the feedback on his injury was that it was the type of injury that was always going to be a problem. So, you know, I don't know that he can stay fit. That's not his fault. I just don't know whether he can. Mark, we like Hall, but we really love Mendes. We're not going to get him though, Korsh. We're not going to get him. Okay, thank you, everybody. I'm off to watch a film tonight, so I cannot do an after show, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the show with you. It's been a busy day today anyway, hasn't it? So we'll call it a day there. But thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Really enjoyed the show, enjoyed the day. And as I said, finishing on a positive, it's very rare to feel positive around Man United, but I just was thinking about it then. I thought, you know what? If Carrick's going to use Lacey, and he's going to get him involved in the first team, it's something to be excited about this season. And there's not always a lot to feel excited about. So let's hope that that's going to happen, because I think he's been the star of pre-season so far. And, you know, if Carrick starts off like that, hopefully that's going to open the door to a lot more players as well. Have a great day. I am back with you tomorrow on the 10 o'clock show, Sunday tomorrow, 10 o'clock morning show. Let's keep an eye on this Lewis Halls thing and see if it develops. I don't think it will, but I am there hoping with you that it does. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.